Amen. All right. If you have your Bibles, let's turn to the book of Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. And we'll begin reading this morning at verse 16. Matthew chapter 1, and we'll begin at verse 16. And the Bible says, "And Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. And from David unto the carrying away into Babylon are 14 generations. And from the carrying away into Babylon unto Christ are 14 generations. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. And Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and she shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from the sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, took unto him his wife, and he knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." Let's bow our heads together and go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Paul, I'm going to ask, brother, would you lead us in prayer? Amen. Well, when we look at our text today, we notice here the great gift that was given to us, and that is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Years and years ago in the garden, fellowship with God was broken because man sinned. And because of that sin, there was a wall built between man and God. Fellowship was not the same, but God revealed his plan to us through his scriptures, that he had a plan to redeem man from his sin. That he had a plan that one day one would come to take man's sin upon himself and would pay for man's sin. And the way this would happen is, as the Bible says here, is in verse 23, they would be one sent to us named Emmanuel, which is being interpreted God with us. And God with us would come, and he would deliver man from death, hell, and the grave. What a blessing it is this morning that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was God in the flesh. He was God with us. His birth was prophesied of old. In fact, let's go back to Isaiah chapter 7 and look with me, if you will, at verse 14. Notice what it says. Isaiah 7:14. "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Now, whereas Isaiah doesn't tell us what Emmanuel means, God interprets for us here and tells us back in Matthew that it is clearly means God with us. And here we see the revelation of God's plan. And here is God's plan, that God himself would take on human flesh and dwell with people. God so identifies himself with man that he took on flesh, lived as a man, suffered as a man, walked this earth as we do. The Son of Man here, clothed in humility. And by the way, when Jesus took on flesh as the second part of the Godhead, he took on that flesh. He took on humanity forever. He'll always be a man. There'll never be a time that Jesus will not be a man in the future. He has a new body now, but God is so identified with us that Jesus himself will always be in flesh. In fact, you go to John chapter 1, verse 1, verse 14, I'm sorry, the Bible says that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And so we come to this great truth about who Jesus was, that Jesus was fully God, but yet he was fully man. There were two natures in him, truly fully God and 100% man. They were both there. In fact, this is also clearly seen if we go to Philippians chapter 2. Look with me at verse 7. Philippians 2, verse 7. This is laid out for us. And the Bible says this, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath also exalted him, highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You notice, even his birth, the Bible tells us here, he took of himself of no reputation. When I flip back over here to Luke chapter 2, and I look at verse 6, and I read about the birth of Christ, notice how humble it was. It says this, and it was so that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. There was no room. So how humble of a birth was that Jesus had? It was so humble. It was far more humble than any birth that we had. We were born around medical doctors and medical care, almost all of us were. Yet Jesus was born in a manger, in a stable. How humble is that? Fully God, yet fully man. And the Bible says that he took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And so here you have God coming to earth in the form of a man. Now I want you to know that this doctrine is so hated by all false religions. All false religions hate the idea that Jesus is God in the flesh. They will deny that fact, but this is a key core of Christianity. A foundational doctrine is this, that God became a man. Jesus Christ was 100% God. He was 100% man. And the reason is that only God in the flesh could pay for our sins. Only the perfect Son of God would be the one that could bear our sins and take them to the cross. Not only is it a miracle that he came, but his birth itself was a miracle. His very birth. The fact that he was born of a virgin. Now, this is a foundational fact of the gospel. Christ had to be born of a virgin. Had he not been born of a virgin, there was no way he could redeem man from their sins. This is a key foundation to all that we believe. The gospel itself rests on this foundation. And you're going to find men are going to be trying to chip away at this. But our Bible is very clear about it, that Jesus was born of a virgin. The reason he had to be born of a virgin and not be born from Joseph as his father is the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:22, for in Adam all die. And if Joseph would have been the physical father of Jesus, then that means Jesus would have had a sinful nature like all of us have. And it would have been impossible for him to redeem us. Now, let's go back to Matthew chapter 1. And again, I want you to notice what the Bible says about his birth. Matthew chapter 1. And look at what it says here. Now, it says in verse 1, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And then it begins to list out the genealogy here, starting in Abraham. Abraham begot Isaac. Isaac begot Jacob. Jacob begot Judas and his brethren. And as you read down, you read all about these generations that are in the lineage of Christ. Okay, now when you get to verse 16, you notice it changes. Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus. The Bible shows us here that Joseph was not the father of Jesus. He was born of Mary. In fact, if you go down to verse 18, it says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. Now that phrase, this wise, is showing us that there was another wise, how all the other men were born. They were born from their fathers. But Christ's birth was on this wise. And it tells us that his birth was not of Joseph. It says, for she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Okay, so Joseph was not the father of Jesus. The Holy Ghost is the one that conceived Jesus in Mary's womb. Now, when you look at verse 19, Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. Mary was beginning to show that she had a child. Joseph was hurt, thinking that Mary was unfaithful to him. But notice in verse 20, the Bible says, while he thought on these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived of her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from her sins. Now, and you'll notice, you go to verse 25, and knew her not till he had brought forth the firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Joseph had no physical relations with Mary till after Jesus was born. And so we know that Christ was born of a virgin. Now, there is listed out to us Joseph's side of it, but also notice Mary's side of it in Luke chapter 1 in verse 27. I'll begin at verse 26. Luke 1:26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to the city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said to her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore the holy thing which thou shalt be born unto thee shall be called the Son of God. Now, so here you see Mary's side of it, how, again, she's told that the child that she was going to have was not going to be Joseph's child, but she as a virgin would conceive through the power of the Holy Ghost. Now, when I go back to Matthew, I love what Matthew says in Matthew 1, 21. Thou shalt bring forth a son, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And now you see the principal ministry of Christ is that God with us, God became a man. He became a man for the purpose of saving people from their sins. His goal in life, his purpose in life, I should say, his job was to take upon him your sins and my sins. And this is the gift of God today, that he saves us from our sins, that we will not stand in judgment on the great judgment day and be doomed and hear, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, because Jesus himself came and took upon himself my sins and your sins, something only God could do for us. God himself did this. In fact, I love what it says in Romans chapter 4 and verse 6. Romans chapter 4 and verse 6. And listen to what the scriptures say here. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Let me tell you, the Bible's showing us here there's great joy in your heart. There ought to be great joy in your life knowing that your sins are forgiven, that God forgives all of your sins and he's washed them away through his son Jesus. That ought to bring tremendous joy to you. But as I finish up this morning, I want to remind you of this, that Jesus' first coming was a very humble coming, wasn't it? A very lowly birth. But his first coming points to his second coming, that one day he will come again. And when he comes again, he'll be coming with a shout, with the glory of God, and all eyes will see him. In fact, I want to show you some quick things before we go. Let's look together. Luke chapter 2 and verse 6. Luke chapter 2 and verse 6. Listen to what the Bible says. And it was so that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in what? Swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And they were in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over the flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and laying in a manger. What is the sign of the Savior? What was the sign? He shall, in verse 12, and this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, laying in a manger. The sign of his first coming was that a baby would be wrapped in swaddling clothes. And that's the words that the Bible uses, swaddling clothes. Twice in that passage, talked about him being wrapped in swaddling clothes. You know, I guess a little baby likes to be wrapped up tight when they're born, don't they? They've been in their mother's womb, and I guess it's pretty tight in there. And when they're born, they just like to be wrapped up real nice and tight and snug. And Jesus, the Bible says, was wrapped in swaddling clothes. Now, the Bible talks about his second coming. And if you would, look with me in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 30. Matthew 24 and verse 30. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Now here's the sign of his second coming. The first coming was he would be wrapped in swaddling clothes. Here's the sign of his second coming. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and the earth shall, the tribes of the earth shall mourn. They shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. His second coming will be a coming. He'll be coming in the clouds with power and great glory. Matthew chapter 26, verse 64. What does it say? Jesus saith unto him, thou hast said, nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of the power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Again, we see him coming in the clouds. Twice it's mentioned, he's coming in the clouds. Mark chapter 13, verse 26. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 17. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. And finally, Revelation chapter 1 and verse 7. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. And they also which pierced him, and all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Over and over again, the Bible tells us when Christ comes again, he will come in the clouds. Don't be deceived by any false Christ that comes anywhere other than the clouds. When Jesus comes again, he will only come with the clouds. That is a sign of his second coming. But to show you that it's all tied together, let's finish by looking at Job chapter 38 and verse 9. Look what Job 38 and verse 9 shows us. When I made the cloud the garment thereof, and thick darkness, and what's the next word? A swaddling band for it. Do you understand what the Bible's showing us here? Christ's first coming was under this sign. A babe would be wrapped in swaddling clothes, which is also a picture of his second coming. He'll be wrapped in clouds. The swaddling is a picture of the clouds for the first birth. And his second coming, he'll be coming in the clouds. There's a swaddling of clouds. They're all connected. And so someday we're looking for our return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, which could come at any time. Could come at any moment. And dear brother and sister, I hope and pray that you're ready for it. I tell you, this Christmas season, we have a lot to be grateful for, a lot to be thankful for. But I'm going to tell you what I'm most thankful for. As dirty and wicked and rotten as I am, that God has forgiven my sins. And I can't get over it. I can't get over that God has forgiven me. And I'm unworthy. And I hope this Christmas you can give praise to God that he's also forgiven your sins. That when I stand before God someday, I can hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Not because I'm good, but because Jesus is good. And Jesus forgave my sins. And I ask you this question. Has Jesus forgiven your sins today? And if Jesus has not forgiven your sins today, I invite you to come and ask the Lord's forgiveness. And the Bible says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let's stand together.